excuses tonight for the Kings. There it is in front of you. Take care of your business, and you're in the playoffs proper. Drapes in San Francisco getting ready for his TV duties. Isn't it interesting, Drapes and Jay? You know, a big game like this against the Pelicans, you know, typically a big game against another team in any sport, you think back to past big games, and there really haven't been any memorable games between the Pelicans and the Kings. So there's a sense of newness to this. I don't even know if we can call it a rivalry.
Nah, we can't call this a rivalry. Nah, not at all. Not, well, first of all, for it to be a rivalry, you got to beat the other team, right?
I know.
Exactly. And so you got to beat the other team first before we can call this thing a rivalry. But no, this is, to me, you know, and I'm going to take a page from you and Jay's book. The Pelicans are a speed bump on our way to the playoffs.
You want so bad to be on our side of it.
I do.
Come on over.
I do, because usually that's my role. You know what I mean? Usually I'm the one. Oh, we got this. We're going to take these guys. They're not ready for this smoke. But I also understand they got Ingram. They got some players. And so I so badly want to exude confidence for our Sacramento Kings squad. And I do think they'll win. But, man, I'm nervous about tonight. I'm nervous, boys.
Drapes, how much of it do you think comes down to the three-point shot? It's cliche these days, but as we discussed with Ian Eagle, sometimes it's just it does come down to that. How important is that in terms of this contest tonight?
Oh, I think it's massive. I think, you know, when you look at the Sacramento Kings, it's such a big part of our offense. And I urge you not to look at the overall three-point shooting for the Sacramento Kings tonight. I need you to look at first half versus second half, because we've seen this team hit 23s against Oklahoma City and lose. So don't look at 20 of 58. Look at when they hit them. Are they consistent like they were the other night against the Golden State Warriors? I don't need the Kings to come out on fire in the first and then only score 40 points in the second half. I need a consistent 3-point. And when you look at the Pelicans, I feel like limiting CJ's threes, limiting Trey Murphy's threes, those are going to be huge tonight.
Oh, we have on the chat here, Compio says, Draper talking basketball 101 today. It must be the hoodie, the UCLA hoodie. Brandon Dietzman says he was half expecting you, Drapes, to be in your full Kings gear again tonight.
I've thought about it, but the higher-ups at NBC, they didn't like that when I did that the other day. You know, so... They got a little mad at me, but you know what? I'm bringing my – you know what, Whitey? We're going to do our part. Me, you, Jay, pre- and post-game, G-Man, we're going to be ready. We need the guys on the court to be ready. We need Mike Brown to be ready. So I could come in here with my birthday suit on. It's not going to affect what's happening down there in New Orleans, because these boys got to be locked in, not worrying about what Drapes is wearing.
Right, right. As far as the three-point numbers, these are just numbers, but – They tell us something. The Pelicans this year, when shooting the three ball, better than 40%, which is good. Most teams, when you shoot better than 40%, you're going to win a lot of games. They're 26-8 when they do that. All right, that's really no surprise. 35% or worse, 14-18. The Kings, 35% or better. 35% or better. 33-14. Frankie had these numbers at SackdownSports.com. Under 35%, the Kings are 13-22. But, of course, Mike Brown, one of the things he would say to that, and you just made this point, it's not just how many or this, that. It's the quality of the three. And I'm not trying to irritate you. How many spray threes do they get? That's the key from Coach Brown's perspective.
No, and rightfully so. And, you know, I wish there was another term we could use other than the spray three. How about driving kick threes or something like that? Uh-huh, you know, spray threes, I feel like we've been beating that drum all season long. But, yes, I think it's going to be critical. Because here's the thing. If the Kings get a high percentage of spray threes tonight, driving kick threes, that tells me that our ball handlers beat their man off the dribble. De'Aaron Fox was able to get by Herb Jones. Mm-hmm. Keon Ellis was able to get by Trey Murphy or Jose Alvarado, whoever is out there. That's why the Pelicans are second in the league in defending the three as far as three-point percentage, is because their on-ball defense is so good that they don't have to help as much. They're not in rotation as much. But if we can go at CJ, I think we could be able to pick on him. I look for De'Aaron Fox to somehow get some switches. If I'm Mike Brown and the coaching staff, I'm drawing up some plays to get CJ on De'Aaron Fox so Fox can take advantage of him.
You just touched on a key here, Kyle. Statistically, anyway, defense during the season, as you said, New Orleans, number two in the NBA at defending the three-point line, 35%. Last 11 games, that number goes up to 38%. And in the game Tuesday, the Lakers, would you say they're a great three-point shooting team?
No.
They shot 40% against the Pelicans.
Wow.
Tuesday. So the Pelicans, that defense at the three-point line, has been a little softer of late.
Yes, and that's great news. And I mean, look at them. They've been struggling as of late.
Yeah.
You know, this team, you know, isn't clicking on all cylinders. Think about it. They had the sixth seed pretty much wrapped up, and then they fell down and let Phoenix take it. And so they're reeling right now. They're not playing their best basketball. I know they look otherworldly when they face us, but they look pretty pedestrian against other teams, including the Lakers. And so I think there is an opportunity there. And, you know, as much as we talk about their defense and everything like that, you just pointed out the numbers. It can be exploited. I think CJ is the weak link of this team defensively. CJ is going to start off on Keon Ellis tonight. And either A, Keon got to make him pay, or B, we got to run CJ in some action so that De'Aaron Fox has that matchup and can blow by him. Because you're right, man. Once you get past that initial line of defense, then you could break them down, and I think you could have some opportunities with those spray threes.
Right. You get into the paint, the defense reacts, you get it out before they collapse on you, you're dictating what the defense is doing. Whereas you get into, the ball gets in there late and you hold on to it, and the defense dictates everything to you and they collapse on you. Why, Kyle, should I wouldn't say this on the air, but I'll ask you now. The way the Kings have been so up and down all year long, and right now, you know, I'm so excited, we're all so excited. Why, is there any realistic, actual, rational reason to think that, all right, they found something, that this time when they're playing better, that it's different from before when they followed up great efforts with lackluster efforts?
Not really, Whitey. Like, I think
I'm glad I didn't ask you on the air.
Because I think we're just being optimists. We're hoping, because we just saw this team a week ago or so.
Yeah.
You know? And we saw what happened, and I understand they had Zion, and, you know, he went off and everything like that. But in terms of, you know, a matchup, it's still the same matchup. I think we're holding on to hope because they will be without Zion. They played well the other night against Golden State. We're being hopeful.
Yeah.
We're giving them the benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean? We're believing in them. But we've done that a lot of times so far this season, only to be – boom,
you're right,
knocked back down to earth. And so this is one last chance. I mean, think about it. Whatever happens tonight, if you win and go against OKC, you're almost playing with house money, in my opinion. Like, I expect you to win a game or two against, so I don't expect you to get blitzed and blown out by OKC. But if you lose in six to OKC, you know what? It happens. That's why tonight is so important. This is their final time this season, Whitey, to have us on this bandwagon, to have us say they have turned the corner. Because if it doesn't happen tonight, we got 6 months off.
Right.
Think about it.
There's one rational reason to expect that the Kings may have figured something out this time. They may have found something. And I'll tell you what that is when we come right back. Drive, guys. Get ready for the Kings and the Pelicans tonight on Sactown Sports.
Not really, to be honest. I mean, I feel like you go out there and it's a basketball at the end of the day. So you want to go out there and just give it your all. And at the end of the day, my goal is just to leave the game with no regrets. And I just want to go into the offseason, whenever that is, with no regrets of how that game ended.
That's a surprise. That's Keegan. Keegan Murray says he doesn't feel any pressure. I don't know that he feels much of anything. I'm not sure he's human, but good for him. Good for Keegan. Here we go. The Kings and the Pelicans tonight. Drapes in San Francisco. I'm telling you, there's one reason to think that maybe, just maybe, just maybe, just maybe this time the Kings have found something. Before I tell you what that is, so that you can mock me, we go to the phones, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Tin has been hanging on. Our buddy Tin. How are you, Tin?
Hey, Whitey. Hi, Drake. Hey, JJ. I'm on the road, but I'd love to get my word out. You know, I don't think we should be worried about CJ McCollum after a shutdown of Klay Thompson, you know?
Yeah.
That was hugely impressive, so I expect Keon to put the clamps on him tonight.
Thank you, Tin. Thanks for hanging on to share that. Two ways to look at that, right, Drapes, if we're being honest. And thank you, Tin. It was great to meet you this week. I mean, yeah, you could shut down CJ like you shut down Klay. On the other hand, I don't know if CJ's going to miss everything like Klay did.
Yeah. Here's the thing. And Tin's our guy.
Yes.
But he's just being optimistic, looking at things with purple colored glasses, trying to get the crowd fired up, the fan base fired up. CJ shooting 70% from three against us, Whitey. 70%.
That's due to come down.
Right.
That's coming down.
What's going to come down to? 45%? Yeah, so I like the optimism. I like it, and I hope he's right, but man. CJ gets up for us more than any other team. And I guess, like you said yesterday, Klay gets up for us.
Yeah.
Klay's had big games against us before, and now he fell apart. Man, here's my over-under on CJ, buddy.
You've been pretty good with these lately, so I'm going to pay attention. Yeah.
22 and a half. CJ under, we win. CJ over. Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
All right. And didn't Steph have 22?
Yeah.
Yeah. 22. Yeah. Yeah. You've been really good with those numbers. Thank you. That's an interesting one. The reason I think the Kings, I think there's honestly rational reason to think they found some. I call it the starfish syndrome. And I may have learned this from my daughter, who's a biology professor at Sac State. The starfish or the sea star, when a starfish like loses a limb, it actually grows it back. Like you could take the limb of a starfish, just like one arm, and it'll regrow the whole thing. And I think what happened, like what I'm getting at, is Malik and Kevin Herter, like two arms of the starfish that all of a sudden it's like, oh, and now playing without them for a while, especially playing without Malik, nothing against Kevin, but we know that Malik is such the emotional core of this team. I feel like they went through these tough losses, and they've been brutal losses. The one to the Pelicans here and the one to the Suns we just had. I feel like maybe they've started to regenerate those limbs. Not that you can ever replace Malik, but they played so well against the Warriors. It looks to me like, wow, they didn't miss Malik. We hope Malik's back, and no one would wish him out. It's not like, oh, they're better off without him, but okay, they found ways to play through it. Now, as you pointed out, there wasn't a real test against the Warriors because Malik's so good down the stretch when it's a tight game. So, and they didn't have that. But I just feel like, wow, the way they played, I feel like maybe they figured out how to play really well. And they're not looking for like, when's Malik coming to rescue us? Yeah. I think they're ready to move on in the short term without him.
Well, and I hope so. And I hope you're right. And, you know, I think, you know, to your point, what we see maybe happening is, after a while, you adjust to life without Malik. You say, okay, you miss him, of course, but you know, it's like a kid going off to college. Those first couple of days are rough, man. Mm-hmm. You know, but then, all right, a week goes by, 2 weeks. It's the new normal, if you will. And I will say, other guys now know what is needed from them, what their roles are. We know Davion has to score. We know Keon has to score as well. Before, those guys it would be okay if they just focused on defense because you had a guy like Malik coming off the bench that could get you 20 points. Now those guys know offensively they have to be threats out there. And so I hope you're right going into tonight's game.
Yeah, it's just the adjustments, which are really difficult. Maybe they've made them and you can get by in the short term. And of course, we all still hope that Malik comes back. Although that's, you know, plenty of time to talk about that. I know we're going to be talking about that a lot. It's interesting to me also that the Kings have a chance here to stick the Pelicans with a really unique kind of failure. because this would be what? How many straight home losses for them if they lost tonight? Seven?
Seven, right?
Okay, yeah. So you would be handing them not only their seventh straight home loss, but this would be their third straight failed chance at home to clinch a playoff spot. So if you beat them, you know, we don't care about that. It's like, we got to do what we got to do. But if the Kings do that, what a colossal failure for the Pelicans.
Well, and you got to start to wonder, does it become mental for them?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that they've had opportunity time and time again. And I would imagine they're a little bit shell-shocked that they're even in this predicament.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, 2 weeks ago, they were looking flying high. They were looking good. The
right.
sixth seed was going to be theirs. Last week, the sixth seed was theirs. And then they lose. Phoenix overtakes them. You lose on the last night to the Lakers. Still another chance on Tuesday. You lose that game. And so now, I could argue that the pressure is squarely on them tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because they've had multiple opportunities, and this is their final one. And so if I'm Sacramento, you're going down there locked in, of course, but you can maybe play a little freer. I think if you start off very quickly in this game, ratchet up that pressure on this Pelicans team, I think that might be huge tonight.
I agree 100%. I think we've seen that even in football. Sometimes in the playoffs, a team that's at home – and it's like, hey, you're supposed to win, you're at home. They get behind, and all of a sudden, they get really tight.
Yeah.
And plus, as you said, I mean, who knows? But the Pelicans, they got a lot of things going on right now. No Zion, and Ingram's unhappy, and Alvarado is injured. And, you know, now all of a sudden, the coaches, you know, he's done a great job there, but now all of a sudden, some of his decisions being called into question. And maybe those things help them, you know, rally around each other, but I think it's more likely that they're part of the reasons why we've seen this team start to splinter. Six straight home losses this time of year, that's ghastly.
Yes, and you know, they've had some tough games, obviously. Celtics were one of them. Bucks, I believe, another one. Lakers a couple of times. So, you know, San Antonio got them at home. But you mentioned it the other day. You know, it's not a tremendous home court advantage. 21-19 during the regular season, throwing the Lakers loss in the play-in. They're 21-20 at home this season, and it's not a tremendous home court advantage. And I don't believe it's the type of crowd that can help will a team back to winning. I think they might be kind of a front-running crowd, if you will. Mm-hmm. Like, when their team is down, you know, they're sitting on their hands underneath their butts, you know, just chilling, you know. And then once Zion gets going, or Ingram or CJ, then they get up. It's not like, you know, a Boston, a New York, a Sacramento, or somebody like that. And so if you can keep this crowd quiet, and I believe, Whitey, and I haven't seen this on social media, I believe Kings fans have traveled to this game. I think we'll have a strong contingent down there tonight.
Yeah, I saw something yesterday. Tickets were $11. I think we were talking about them being 12 or 13. I think some of them are available for $11. So... yeah, that would be nice. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Tyrone with us on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Tyrone. What's going on?
Hey, what's up?
Yo, T.
I'm calling real quick. So the Kings just to do what they did last game, but get rid of the mistakes, especially those mental mistakes. I need Coach Brown to make sure he's careful with his challenges.
Oh, we lost you, Tyrone. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
I can't really hear you guys, but hopefully I'm coming through clear.
Yeah, we got you now. Yeah.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the call. That's what you said, Kyler. Oh, he can't use the challenges early. That was a great challenge. I was sitting next to somebody at the game. I was like, what is he doing? He was gaining a possession. That's what he was doing.
I guess, but man, 3 minutes into the game, you've got to be 100% right. But here's the issue with that, Whitey. And you're right. He got it right. Great challenge. But you only get two per game.
Mm-hmm.
When the score is 8-6, is it really that critical? It worked out. It turned out fine. But I don't want to burn a challenge early on. You might need two late in this game.
Well,
you know? And
yeah.
So Mike got to be on point tonight. I don't care when he challenges, as long as he gets them right.
That's what Tyrone's saying. I thought it was a clever move because, to me, it was an indication also that, wow, he thinks this could come down to one possession. He thinks this could be like a one-point game, and he's going for it here. So, yeah, who knows? but he was 100% sure. Wasn't there a play where ball went off of Steph Curry's foot out of bounds and it was off Curry and they called it Warrior ball and the and the Kings did not challenge?
Correct. Yeah. That was I have no idea what Mike is doing with these challenges, man. He has been better as of late, though. Give him credit. He's been better as of late, meaning he's winning some of those challenges. But, man, you know, the first 4 or 5 months of the regular season, he was struggling at the challenge line there.
Let me just say this about the Pelicans. You have been all season long, you've been skeptical of them. And I was more like, oh, no, they're legit. They defend. And I thought they'd be free and clear of the play-in. And ultimately, you were right. All year long, I remember you saying, I don't know about them. And here we are. They got a win. They got a win to avoid seven straight home losses.
This was a big collapse by them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and obviously with Zion hurt, that's messing them up. I get it. But I didn't think they could stay healthy all season long. Mm-hmm. And they haven't. Ingram went down. He missed almost a month. You know, now Zion's out. And that's been their issue the last several years. They got all the talent in the world. I love their roster. I love their team. But, you know, they just haven't been healthy. And in their biggest game of the season, they're missing their best player tonight.
We have Jay Ross from the Big Easy, top of the hour. And when we come right back, we talked yesterday about true superstars. Two players will be trying to prove that's what they are tonight, and we'll reveal them next year with the Drive Guys, Sactown Sports. So excited, of course, about the Kings and the Pelicans. Only one of the two deciding play-in games we have today, because in the East we have the Bulls against the Heat. And obviously, we don't really care about that game much, but I want to ask you, Kyle, before we get any further here in the Kings and Pelicans, I think it was Will Z Stats asked this question on Twitter, and it's a question that I've had. So I'm going to ask you,
okay,
why aren't the Bulls better? We saw what they did when they were here, and they got talent. And, you know, maybe they win tonight with Jimmy Butler hurt. But, I mean, they're barely – every year they're in the play-in, and they're barely scraped into this situation this year. We saw what they could do, when, as I said, when they came from way behind here. Why aren't the Bulls a better team?
I think it's pretty obvious. They don't have – a point guard to really bring it all together.
Uh-huh.
They got a bunch of individuals, guys that could get numbers, but they don't play necessarily together as a team. It's DeMar DeRozan's turn. It's Kobe White's turn. It's Zach LaVine's turn. They miss Lonzo Ball tremendously, man. And I think, you know, as great as Kobe White is,
42 points against the Hawks. Yeah.
Yeah. He's more of a scoring point guard, though. He's not going to get you 12 assists. He's like, they got bucket getters on their team. They don't have role players, guys that like Lonzo Ball, for instance, is a glorified role player. He's not trying to go out there and get 25 or 30. He'll get you 10, 11, 12 assists, and that's what they need. All the talent in the world. That's why they haven't broken it up. They feel like when healthy,
they're that close.
If they had Lonzo, this is a different team.
Do you see how Caruso got hurt in the last game?
Andre Drummond running into him.
Yeah, teammate. Friendly fire running him right over and really hurt him, apparently.
And Andre Drummond's had a fantastic season, but it's like, dude, what do you, you know, it's, but Caruso vowed he's playing tonight. So big game for them. No Jimmy Butler for Miami. I'm taking Chicago in this game.
Yeah, me tonight. Too. Me too. Yeah.
And DeMar DeRozan, maybe one of the most underrated players out there. And he's a future Hall of Famer. And I love watching him play. The master of the mid-range, you know, stand-up guy, you know, advocate for mental health. I cheer for him every night. I'm a big DeMar DeRozan fan.
Hey, speaking of good teammates, did you hear what Wemby did at, I think it was a Drake concert? Did you hear that? They asked him to come out on stage, and he wouldn't because they wouldn't let his whole team come up, or his teammates, whoever, I don't know who was there with him, but they wouldn't let his teammates come up, said, no, we just want you, and he said, well, I'm not going up there then. How about that?
Yeah, that's all right. Whatever, Wemby.
Jay?
What are you doing?
Really? I'm not giving you a thumbs up for that.
Really?
Exactly. Thank you, Jay. I agree.
What am I missing?
God, get out of here.
That's not being a good teammate?
Man, we had a Drake concert, man. Bye, man.
Right. What are you doing? Man, go out there and say what's up to the crowd. Like, this, you know, here's the thing about superstars. They know they're superstars.
Yeah.
Their teammates know they're superstars. They know the pecking order in San Antonio, Whitey.
No, but
Devin Vassell ain't going to be salty. He knows he's a role player on that team compared to Wembanyama. Wembe, take your butt out there and get that shine.
San Antonio is, yeah, it's that culture. It's like we're all together in this.
Losing
Pop
culture.
Right.
That culture's changed. It changed. That thing's changed, man.
None of us is better than the other. Just ask Tim Duncan. Okay.
That culture. You know what? As people always talk about, the Kings need to stop living in 2002. The Spurs need to stop living about that, too. That's over with. Ginobili, Parker, all those guys, Sean Elliott, the Admiral, like Drake's talked about. Put the Admiral in the front seat, first of all, before y'all get to try to bring Drake up and the teammates. Get that out of here.
All right.
It's true, man. Yeah. And here's the thing. Wembanyama is about to be the face of the league.
Yeah.
Act like it, big fella. Act like it. As great as Tim Duncan was, trust me, the league needs Victor Wembanyama to be more LeBron and not Tim Duncan.
No, I get
He's
that.
Carry the mantle. Get out there and hang with Drake, bro.
I just thought that was nice. Like, no, you have to bring my teammates with me or I won't go on the stage. I thought that was cool, but all right.
But, dude, this is Drake. Now, if it was just some, you know, local up-and-comer or something, dude, this is Drake. This is like the number one artist in terms of popularity out there right now.
Not coming out because Trey Jones can't guard me. Can't come out there with me. Trey, man, my bad. Trey wants to come with me, Drake.
Yeah.
Nah.
Forget that. Nah,
you mentioned the term superstars, and we talked about that yesterday. Tonight is a night where it's one of those nights where there's a chance for guys to prove that they deserve consideration. I'm talking about De'Aaron Fox, and I'm talking about Brandon Ingram. Two guys, right, that have a chance to show, you know what, we are superstars in the making, and we deserve your consideration now. Don't you think that's part of the magnitude of a game like this?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, and Brandon Ingram's been an all-star before, so has De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
What's interesting about Brandon Ingram is it seems like his quote-unquote path to superstar is like goes up then comes down. He's never on a straight trajectory, up or down. One minute he looks like he could be, you know, a superstar. The next, he's just a star, you know. And I was looking at – he's only 26 years old, fellas.
Seems like he's been around forever.
I feel like he's been around for like 15 years, right?
Yeah.
He's only 26 – and I will say this, based on his numbers, and I'm just talking numbers, he's a 20-point-per-game scorer basically for his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy, when it's all said and done, is going to have Hall of Fame numbers without much to show for it in terms of playoff success if they keep it up going the way they're going.
Well, you were just talking, Drapes, about how the Bulls keep deciding, well, we're going to keep it together and run it back. And the Pelicans have done the same thing, right? Someone mentioned yesterday, hey, that's basically the same team as last year. And it was just basically the same team because they figured if Ingram and Zion are healthy, we got something. And as you pointed out, good luck with that. And it looked like they were, wow, this is working out. Then all of a sudden, now they're both down. Well, I know Ingram's playing, but he's still hobbled.
Yeah, and I don't know what you do if you're the Pelicans and it doesn't work out this season, right? Like, what move can you make? You're not trading away Zion, right? You're not trading away. I don't think you're trading CJ. Who you're going to get to upgrade? Maybe Ingram? You might be, like, I don't know what they do. Like, we talked about the Bulls situation. The Bulls, I don't know what they do, you know? Are you trading away a guy like Vucevic? Well, he might not have much value.
Well, they might lose DeMar because he's a free agent. I mean, DeRozan might go somewhere else.
Right, exactly. And who's going to come there and sign with you, you know? And so I look at the Pelicans, and I think if I'm them and I'm being honest, I'm running it back again.
Really?
I like what they're building. I like their young core. I don't know what the piece is that takes them over the top, though. Isn't it a true point guard? Because right now you got CJ sort of running point. Is it you know, another center? I don't know what they need to get better. Maybe some more depth. I don't know. But I think they're on the right path, man. I like their players. Ingram's 26. Zion's, you know, younger than that. Herb Jones is great. You know, Murphy is a shooter. Like, I like some of the pieces they have.
Yeah. Obviously, the final chapter on this year for them is not written. Who knows where it's going to end up? We hope it ends tonight, but it might not. And if it doesn't, then that changes the narrative for them. But looking ahead to the offseason, if they were in a position where they had to think, we're going to do something major. To me, if I'm the Pelicans, I can't. If I trade Zion, it's like I'm throwing the whole thing away, right? Because he's so unique. And I've got so much equity in him. If I made even a solid basketball decision that, all right, we're going to move off of Zion, it's like I barely can get people to come out to my games as it is. I don't think they can afford to do that without basically starting over.
Not at all. You can't trade Zion. You're talking about a guy that averaged 23 points per game, played in 70 games this season, Whitey. It wasn't like he only played 40 games or anything like that. This guy was healthy most of the season. He's only 23 years old. You don't give up on that just yet. Like, what do you do? Like, what do you get in return? Some picks, and then you got to hit the reset button again? I don't know what they need. Maybe you look at trading CJ and get younger at that position. Maybe you look at trading Brandon Ingram, you know, for a high lottery pick. Not this year, but next year you get a Cooper Flag or somebody. I don't know what the answer is for them. But they're at that point where they're good, but just not good enough, and they're not bad enough. So they're in that, you know, going into next year, they'll be in that 4-7 range. And you know what's interesting about the Pelicans, and their fans will be quick to point this out. Last year, before Zion's injury, they were at the top of the Western Conference.
I know.
Remember, October, November, December, they were leading the Western Conference. But this year, the Western Conference is more difficult. You know what I mean? They're still a good team, but I don't know if they're championship caliber, and I don't know what's it going to take to get them there.
And remember also this year we had Zion saying, I'm trying to buy in, but I'm working on it. We talked to Antonio Daniels about that, and he and CJ and Ingram, you know, as good as a season as the team has had and as good as seasons as each of those guys has had, the three of them still, it's not quite fitting. So that's a team with a lot of questions. If they win tonight and move on, maybe those questions just fade to the background. But if the Kings win tonight, which we all say they will, boy, they're going to have to face some very difficult questions this offseason. Let's hope it comes to that, right? Tonight.
Yeah, exactly. We want the Pelicans to be scratching their head, sort of like the Warriors, right?
Yes.
Warriors got some difficult decisions to make. Well, that's their problem. Let's leave the Pelicans' problem for them as well, and they can handle that after tonight.
When we come back, I'll tell you about the dumbest Kings thing I've ever read. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. It's a drive, guys. Oh, getting ready for game night tonight. Wow. Jay dropping little toadies. Awesome kid. He found it. Hey, by the way, you just heard about that SAC Auto Expo. That's coming up. That is going to be incredible. We're looking forward to that. You want to check out Imran's website for that. That's going to be amazing. I think I'm going to go see him tomorrow. But, you know, we got bigger fish to fry right now getting ready for the Kings. And
sound like you're in purchase tonight. Something there, fella.
We'll see.
Okay.
Could be.
Okay.
Could be that kind of day. Yeah, Drapes in San Francisco. We'll get to the phones real quick here. And then I got to tell you about the dumbest Kings thing I've ever read in my whole life. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Steven with us on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Steven, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. I got a speech for you guys. You guys ready for it? Can I have like 30 seconds?
Make it good, Steven.
Yeah, we'll give you 15 and then we'll see how it goes.
I'm about to make it. All right. Okay. That's right, baby. Let's go. When you step out on that court, everyone is equal. Gentlemen, talent, it means nothing. They may be more talented than you, but if you show more heart, you show more focus, if you just decide this day that you will never accept second place to anyone, if you do that, if you do all that, there is no one, and I mean no one, we cannot defeat. And there was no one that will want to challenge us ever again. So, do you go out there like every other player, like every other team? Or do you want to stand up this day to make this day count? Make it count. Leave your heart and soul out there on the court and make them remember who you are. Make them scared to ever set foot on this court with you ever again. Make them remember who you are. They will remember who you are. Light the freaking beam. Let's get it, boys. This is it. Let's go.
Steven. King of the Kings.
Yeah. Thank you, Steven. Yeah. I appreciate that. I'll tell you what, though, if I was one of the players and coach gave that speech, you were just very early into it. They may be more talented than you. I'd say, they are not, coach. They're not. Come on. What are you talking about? They're not more talented than us. But I appreciate the sentiment, Drapes.
You know, it sounds like he was talking to the Bad News Bears and not the Sacramento Kings, right? Like, which, you know, who's he trying to hype up here, right? I know we're not good enough to play with these guys, but tonight, like, appreciate the effort, though, man. Good job, good effort.
Yeah, good and effort. He's been working on it, you know, doing what he can. We're all doing what we can. Oh, it's time for, is it time, Jay, for check-in?
Mike, check.
With TC.
Yes, sir. Check it, man. First and foremost, before we get started, what's up with my guys? Drake, Whitey, JJ in the back, Simone. What's up with y'all, man?
Good, good. Everything good.
TC, yeah. Enjoying this Friday, baby.
Yeah.
But, hey, before we get started, Drake, how'd the game go? Hey, listen, I think I missed it. Did y'all win last night? How'd the game go?
Come on, TC. Why are you asking questions you already know the answer to? Of course we won, big fella. Your boy was in his bag last night, man, dishing the rock like magic. I went, just like that, like Magic Johnson there out there, man. Of course we got that win.
Man, that's my dude, Drake. I love you, bro. Check it out. Listen, the Kings win tonight. Everybody want Fox and Domas. We need y'all to step up. We need all the other guys to step up, bro. And everything is going to be all right. We need Keon to get big again. Murray get big again. And whoever finna come off that bench, get big, show up, play defense, rebound. This going to be a big Alex Lynn game. I'm telling you, Alex Lynn, like I said last game, Alex Lynn and Keon going to be the X factor, bro. That's all I got. We win tonight.
Mic check.
Thank you, TC.
Check it with TC.
The way the Kings play this year against the Pelicans, we're going to know pretty early on, aren't we, whether, okay, we got a game or, oh, it's one of those nights again.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, and it's not the box score. It's not the scoreboard. It's the eye test. Are we, you know, hesitant, timid, you know, scared? Are they laughing, joking? Running up and down, shooting threes. Like, it's, I want to see, and this is what Antonio Daniels said last week, the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, yes.
You got to
win
the first 5 minutes if you're Sacramento. Mm-hmm. You got to put some doubt in this Pelicans team. Because right now, they're walking into the building extremely confident against you guys. You got to change the momentum, have them to start doubting themselves in this game.
Yep, yep. Steven was right. Steven's speech would come in handy tonight. Yeah. Here's the dumbest Kings thing I think I've ever heard. And there's a lot of content, I guess is a word we use now. It's, you know, sports media, and you just got to be so careful. And I saw some today. It was some off site, you know, and I don't even remember the name of the writer. And if I did have it, I wouldn't tell you what it was. But the story was the Kings playing New Orleans tonight. At a crucial time in the team's development, and some want the Kings to win tonight, but some Kings fans aren't so sure, and they don't want the Kings to win because they don't want to give up the draft pick to Atlanta at such a crucial moment in the team's development. And I thought, I don't think there's a single person on earth.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks that, right?
Is this a national site there? Is this a national site that said this?
It wasn't a big one. You know, it was one of the... I honestly couldn't even tell you the name of it. It came up on my browser today. It's like, oh, Kings. I was looking at it going, okay, that's no one in the world feels that way or anything close to it. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, it's been a complete opposite, right?
Yes,
like, everybody wants to convey so that you maybe can do some trades down the line. And it's supposedly a weak draft. Why do we want a draft pick in this draft? So, man, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of content out there, Kings fans. We just got to ignore.
Yeah.
We just
got
to skip over. Look where it's cut. Look at some of our reputable writers here at Sactown Sports 1140. Our guy Jason Anderson at the B as well. Chris Biederman. Don't be looking at these Yahoo's fringe sites.
Be careful.
Nah, come on. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons the Kings want to win tonight is so that they can convey the pick. Right? So they can clear it.
We're trying to give away that pick. Why do we want pick number 14 in the weakest draft in years? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Woo. Everybody's maybe everybody's just feeling, you know, the pressure a little bit. It's getting to that writer's noodle a little bit. Jason Ross, cool, calm, and collected from the Big Easy. He joins us next. We'll catch up with Jay Ross from New Orleans next here with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.